Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. The results are in from the 2024 point-in-time count of people experiencing homelessness. It shows a big drop overall across East County, but a huge spike in homelessness in Lemon Grove and La Mesa, as well as an increase in seniors who are homeless and people living in their vehicles. We'll have the startling details on our show today. The county is expanding its rent subsidies program for seniors, and we'll tell you how to apply. Advocates of Loveland Reservoir and Alpine are celebrating victory after the Sweetwater Authority's directors voted unanimously to approve repairing a floating fishing dock that was severely damaged by winter storms over a year ago. And in a win for local Arab American residents, the county has approved a new designation on all county forms for people of Middle Eastern and North African heritage. On Green Scene, hear about an all-time record just set for carbon dioxide levels due to greenhouse gas emissions and what that means for our planet. California's former insurance commissioner warns that some areas right here in California may become uninsurable for homeowners unless climate change is addressed and forest practices improved to protect against devastating forest fires capable of spreading into urban areas. On Crime Beat, hear about the sentencing of a man convicted of chasing alleged package thieves in La Mesa and fatally shooting a woman driving their vehicle. Plus, El Cajon police announced two arrests of suspects accused of selling fentanyl to homeless people and trading drugs for stolen goods. A fire has damaged the advanced water purification facility in Santee, and we'll have details on our show today. In Lemon Grove, residents spoke out at a recent meeting to share their visions for revitalizing their downtown Broadway corridor. The California Public Utilities Commission has issued a proposed ruling that would reject AT&T's plan to end landline telephone service after thousands of Californians, including many of you here in East County, spoke out against AT&T's plan to pull the plug. On Destination East County, hear about some joyful June events coming up, as well as the county's Movies in the Park across our region. East County has lost a treasure with the passing of famed architect and artist James Hubbell of Santa Isabel. We'll have a look back at his remarkable life and legacy on our show today. It's graduation time for Grossmont and Cuyamaca Community College seniors, and we'll tell you about their commencement speakers coming up later in our show. And finally, from Public News Service, we'll have some national news stories, including a Supreme Court ruling in a controversial gerrymandering case. Why Donald Trump's claim that President Joe Biden tried to have him assassinated is false. And the latest effort to pass a major border bill and immigration bill has stalled in Congress, a measure that could have major implications for our region. So stay tuned for the latest edition of the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, where East County matters. The 2024 point-in-time homeless count reveals some significant changes for East County. East County's total homeless population dropped by 28% overall from January of last year to January of this year, from 1,700 people to about 1,200. That's in sharp contrast to the county overall, which had the number of homeless people increase by 3% to a total of 10,605 homeless folks. However, some East County communities did have sharp rises, notably in communities closest to San Diego, which recently enacted a ban on encampments. La Mesa's total homelessness rose 86%, with a 47% rise in unsheltered people. Lemon Grove's unsheltered homeless numbers rose 85%. Those sharp spikes in La Mesa and Lemon Grove may be due to the City of San Diego's ban on homeless encampments, suggests Paul Downey, Chief Executive Officer of Serving Seniors, a nonprofit that helps low-income adults ages 60 and up. He says the geographic shifts in populations of people experiencing homelessness to East and South County communities demonstrates the effect of the City of San Diego camping ban, noting that the ban also puts people farther away from services downtown. He adds, "The camping ban has merely redistributed the population of people who are homeless. Spreading out the problem is not humane or cost-effective." Another troubling trend is the skyrocketing number of senior citizens who are homeless. Those 55 and older now account for 30% of all local homeless, up 25% from 2 years ago, and nearly half of those are disabled, according to Downey. The county also found a 15% increase in seniors living in vehicles, who account for 1 in 5 of homeless seniors. Growing senior homelessness is due largely to economic factors, such as insufficient retirement income and unaffordable housing. Supervisors have recently approved pilot programs to offer shallow rent subsidies, a short-term effort to prevent seniors from becoming homeless due to an unexpected circumstance, such as a medical emergency, eviction due to job loss, or death of a spouse. But, long-term, building more affordable housing is the solution needed, experts agree. East County has 11.6% of the county's total homeless population. There are 64% in the city of San Diego, 8.3% in North County inland, 8.1% in North County coastal, and 8% in South County. Now, some East County communities did show improvements. Lakeside's total homeless number fell from 78 in 2023 to 52 in the 2024 count. Alpine had 4 homeless people in 2023 and none this year. 2 East County cities raised concerns due to having 0 housing for the homeless and a significant number of homeless people. In Santee, all 73 homeless persons counted were unsheltered. Similarly, all 111 homeless people in Lemon Grove were without shelter. In unincorporated county areas, all 129 Spring Valley homeless are unsheltered, as are all 52 in Lakeside. El Cajon, which has its own camping ban, also has significant resources to help the homeless. The city of El Cajon had a 55% drop in the number of sheltered homeless, but a 39% rise in unsheltered homeless people. Most, 517, of El Cajon's homeless people are in some type of shelter, while 283 are not. Now, unsheltered includes persons living in vehicles, as well as those living on the streets. The county recently opened a safe parking area for those living in vehicles in the unincorporated area of El Cajon, just over the city line. The county has also announced plans to build 150 sleeping cabins in Spring Valley, as well as a safe parking area for RVs in Lakeside, both to accommodate people experiencing homelessness, which should reduce next year's numbers. Regional Task Force on Homelessness CEO Tamara Kohler says, "We're seeing a significant increase in people living in their cars. This year's numbers suggest we have a continuing need for more sheltering options and support for the efforts many cities are now taking to combat this crisis. We must focus on populations like seniors, veterans, and people living in cars, where proven housing strategies can make a difference in the months and years ahead." Still, local experts on homelessness take heart in the fact that homelessness countywide rose only 3%. Pastor Roland Slade is chair of the Continuum of Care Advisory Board and pastor of First Meridian Baptist Church in El Cajon, which built sleeping cabins for homeless women on its church property. He says, "I hope this is the high water mark," referring to the small increase this year. "Our board is proud of the work that communities, nonprofits, religious groups, and others are embracing." And he concludes, "There's a lot more work to do, but this is good progress." Kohler praises communities across the county, including La Mesa in East County, for leaning into game-changing solutions. "If we can keep people housed, quickly end homelessness for those sleeping in their cars, and continue to target vulnerable populations," Kohler says, "San Diego has a fighting chance to see real change moving forward." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Donato Ramirez with a public service announcement from the County of San Diego. The county is expanding a pilot shallow rental subsidy program for older adults to support an additional 160 older adults at risk of homelessness. The county's Department of Homeless Solutions and Equitable Communities program will provide at-risk San Diego County residents over 55 years old with a $500 monthly rental subsidy for 18 months. The money will go directly to participants' landlords. The application period is now open. The participants will be selected at random. Those selected will join 222 households previously chosen for the original pilot program in early 2023, which was subsequently approved for expansion by the County Board of Supervisors. Barbara Jimenez, Community Operations Officer for the county's Health and Human Services Agency, says, "We are grateful the County Board of Supervisors prioritized our seniors and allocated additional funds to ease the burden of our county's older adults and grandparents. This is an important part of the puzzle to prevent vulnerable populations from falling into homelessness. The county's aging roadmap forecasts that San Diego's 60 years or older population will grow to more than 910,000 people by 2030. The population 55 and older is expected to surpass 1.1 million. According to the 2023 We All Count Point in Time count, people over the age of 55 make up 29% of the region's unsheltered population. To apply for the shallow rental subsidy program, you must be a San Diego resident 55 years or older at risk of homelessness, have a household income at or below 50% of the area median income, be severely rent burdened, paying more than 50% of your income toward housing costs, have a lease or rental agreement in your name and a landlord willing to participate in the program, not be receiving funds from another rental subsidy program, and sign consent forms to participate in the program and an evaluation. People who have questions about the program should call 619-780-3684.
By a unanimous vote and without discussion, the Sweetwater Authority Board of Directors approved restoring a floating fishing dock at Loveland Reservoir in Alpine. Audience members applauded after the votes were cast. The dock was severely damaged in a January 2023 storm shortly after the reservoir was drained to Deadpool status, an action which left the fishing float on dry land and which also killed off fish, much to the dismay of residents and visitors. Russell Walsh, who has long advocated for restoration of the floating fishing dock, says the votes reflect a travesty being corrected by persistent citizens and hopefully increasingly willingly Sweetwater directors and upper management. Rains have restored water levels at the reservoir, which were used earlier this month to extinguish a brush fire. The draining prompted formation of a nonprofit, Friends of Loveland Reservoir, as well as hearings held by the Alpine Community Planning Group and Sweetwater. Supporters of Loveland traveled to Chula Vista to testify in favor of restoring the fishing dock, as staff had recommended doing after its insurer, the California Joint Powers Insurance Authority, paid over $96,000 on the claim, nearly all of the estimated $99,000 repair cost. Now that the fishing dock will be restored, residents also pressed directors, urging in testimony that they restock the lake with fish and restore sunrise to sunset hours. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Middle Eastern peoples have long been excluded from being counted on government forms from the U.S. Census to state and county documents. But that is changing here in San Diego County, which has one of the state's largest populations of people of Middle Eastern or North African descent. By unanimous vote, San Diego County Supervisors on May 1st became the first jurisdiction in California to approve creating a category on county forms for people self-identifying as Middle Eastern or North African, or MENA. In addition to providing local measures introduced by Supervisor Joel Anderson, county supervisors also voted to support the Assembly Bill 2763. The MENA Inclusion Act. Members of the California MENA Civil Rights Coalition are celebrating the measure's passage. A press release from the Arab American Civic Council notes that El Cajon in San Diego East County is home to over 50,000 Arab Americans, including Irani, Somali, Syrian, and other communities that are all integral to the region's economy and social fabric. Organized such as the Medal, the Arab Community Center in San Diego, and Somali Family Services in La Mesa, provide services and assistance to this dynamic population. Rahman Awad, executive director for the Medal Center, says, "It is a critical measure because for too long our communities have been lacked proper representation. With a MENA category, we're hoping that our communities will gain visibility and the necessary resources we need to thrive." Supervisor Anderson's measures aligns with California campaign, spearheading by the California MENA Coalition, which advocates the inclusion of MENA communities across intake forms at state departments, agencies, and commissions. At the state level, Assembly Bill 2763 would add a MENA category for demographic forms used in California. At a federal level, on March 28th, the White House Office of Management and Budget announced new standards that will be used to collect federal data on race and ethnicity, including the addition of Middle Eastern or North African categories for the 2030 census. The agenda description for Anderson's measure approved by supervisors noted that despite being home to one of the largest refugee settlements communities in California, San Diego County residents of Mina descendants are often identified as white on government forms because there was no dedicated ethnicity category for them. County staff concluded, by providing more inclusive and accurate representation for the Mina community, we are ensuring that their voices are clearly heard, their needs are addressed, and their contributions are recognized. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Zaravan Ali.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community. This is Danita Ramirez with the Green Scene Report. The average monthly concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere jumped by a record 4.7 parts per million between March 2023 and March 2024. According to new data from NOAA's Mauna Loa Observatory in Hawaii, the spike, reported by the University of California San Diego's Scripps Institution of Oceanography, reveals the increasing pace of CO2 addition to the atmosphere by human activities. Author and longtime climate activist Bill McKibben posted this on social media in response to the news. Common Dreams reports, I'd make this the lead story in every paper and newscast on the planet. If we don't understand the depth of the climate crisis, we will not act in time. Scientists have been tracking rising CO2 concentrations from Mauna Loa in Hawaii since 1958, and their upward trajectory has come to be known as the Keeling Curve, named for Charles Keeling, who began the measurements. The curve has become an important symbol of the climate crisis, making visible how the burning of fossil fuels and the clearing of vegetation has released more and more CO2 into the atmosphere, where it traps heat from escaping into space and raises global temperatures. For most of human history, concentrations have hovered around 280 parts per million. In 2023, CO2 concentrations averaged 419 parts per million, a level not seen since 4.3 million years ago, when sea levels were around 75 feet higher and parts of today's Arctic tundra were forests. And this month, the Keeling Curve reports a daily concentration of over 426 parts per million. The record jump from March 2023 to March 2024 surpasses the last record jump from June 2015 to June 2016. Ralph Keeling, Charles's son, who now directs the Scripps CO2 program, says, "We sadly continue to break records in the CO2 rise rate. The ultimate reason is continued global growth in the consumption of fossil fuels. The record leaps from both 2015 through 2016 and 2023 through 2024 were also influenced by active El Niño events, which increase atmospheric carbon dioxide by leading to warmer, drier temperatures in the tropics, which decrease vegetation and encourage fires. This year's rate of increase during the current El Niño is significantly larger than the one that took place in 2016. Keeling told the Guardian newspaper in England, to stabilize the climate, you need CO2 levels to be falling. Clearly, that isn't happening. Human activity has caused CO2 to rocket upwards, he concludes. It's sad what we are doing. The record jump in CO2 concentrations comes as 2023 was the hottest year both on record in around 100,000 years. In addition, 10 of the 12 months from March of last year to March of this year were the hottest of those months ever reported. Jeff Goodell, author of The Heat Will Kill You First, offered this ominous prediction for our planet. If CO2 levels are not sharply reduced, we're riding the Venus Express.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Former California Insurance Commissioner and Director of UC Berkeley's Climate Risk Initiative, Dave Jones, has issued a stark warning over future availability of homeowners insurance in California's fire-prone regions. At a hearing held by the Little Hoover Commission, Jones testified, "I believe we're marching steadily towards an uninsurable future because we are not acting aggressively and fast enough to reduce greenhouse gas emissions globally and in this country. California's growing population in high fire risk areas, the rising cost of replacing structures destroyed by wildfires, and an increase in billion-dollar weather and climate disasters paint a grim picture for investors," he added. The severity of recent fires, driven in part by forest mismanagement and aggravated by climate change, exacerbates the risk. Jones' comments echo findings of the Little Hoover Commission's 2018 report, Fire on the Mountain: Rethinking Forest Management in the Sierra Nevada. That report called for a dynamic culture change in the way California's forests are managed in order to curb a disastrous cycle of wildfire and tree death. At the same time, the report noted limitations on the state's role since the state owns only about 2% of our state's forests. The vast majority of California's forest land is owned by the federal government or private owners. In its report, the commission detailed how poor forest health increases the risk of severe wildfires and water quality degradation in Sierra Nevada watersheds. Jones reiterated these environmental consequences and explained that they strain insurance markets by amplifying risks and potential losses. The commission recommended a multi-pronged approach to restore and maintain forest health and resiliency, including increasing the pace and scale of forest restoration through collaboration with the federal government to seek more funds for prescribed fire crews and forest administrators. The commission also recommended integrating controlled burns into forest health strategies at all levels of government and educating the public on the benefits of prescribed fire. To generate income to help pay for forest management, the commission encouraged the state to promote expansion of in-state wood products manufacturing and to investigate ways to update California's building codes to include new technologies for more carbon-neutral construction. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Danae Ramirez.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Zervon Ali with a Crime Beat report. A La Mesa man has been sentenced to 50 years to life in state prison for shooting and killing a motorist on Highway 94 on March 5th, 2022. 49-year-old Thomas Evans III pleaded guilty to first-degree murder of Sandralina Williams, a 27-year-old mother of three. Williams was driving a Ford Edge with two male passengers who were stealing packages from homes in La Mesa. According to the testimony at the preliminary hearing, Times of San Diego reports, Evans pursued the vehicle and fired multiple shots, striking Williams, who crashed the vehicle against the center median. Williams was taken to the hospital, where she died several days later. The passengers were not injured. Evans also fired a bullet that entered the apartment in Spring Valley on the other side of the freeway, but fortunately, it did not strike any occupants.
A two-month-long investigation by the El Cajon Police Department Special Investigations Unit has uncovered an operation that involves selling fentanyl to homeless residents in exchange for stolen merchandise. The investigation ended in two arrests, including Jeremy Ketchum of Santee, says Lieutenant Will Guerin. During the investigation, detectives learned that Samantha Eckes was living with Ketchum. Records checks revealed that El Cajon police officers had previously arrested her on February 3rd for possession of fentanyl for sale. She was booked into the Las Colinas Detention and Reentry Facility, then released on bond. On May 13th, detectives obtained a search warrant authorizing search of Ketchum, his home, and his vehicles. Later that morning, detectives spotted him driving in El Cajon and followed him. He was seen meeting with several homeless individuals in an area known for narcotics activity. Ketchum was stopped and found to be in possession of fentanyl. Detectives then served the search warrant on Ketchum's home and detained Eckes. The search found nearly a half a pound of fentanyl. several thousand dollars cash, 1/2 ounce of methamphetamine, hundreds of rounds of illegally possessed ammunition, and several thousand dollars in suspected stolen property. Eckes was arrested and again booked into the Las Colinas detention and reentry facility. Detectives then searched a storage unit that Ketchum maintained and found nearly 1/4 pound of fentanyl and several thousand dollars worth of stolen property. The investigation found that Ketchum sold fentanyl to local homeless individuals and traded fentanyl for stolen property. Ketchum was booked into San Diego County Central Jail for several felonies, including possession of fentanyl and methamphetamine for sale, illegal possession of ammunition, and theft of merchandise with the intent to sell. El Cajon Police Chief Mike Moulton blames what he calls ineffective laws for failing to hold thieves accountable and misguided harm reduction strategies that he says exacerbate drug abuse. Chief Moulton believes Proposition 47 has failed our communities and must be addressed, he says. Proposition 47, passed by California voters in 2014, reduced penalties for some crimes from felonies to misdemeanors. That includes shoplifting or grand theft of items valued at $950 or less, as well as receiving stolen property under that amount and several other crimes. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
A fire that sent large plumes of smoke across East County on May 22nd was caused when workers at the Advanced Water Purification Project in Santee were joining together two large pieces of plastic pipe. Santee Fire Chief Justin Matsushita says while workers were fusing two large pipes, each 42 inches in diameter, the plastic material caught fire and quickly overwhelmed the workers, prompting their 911 call. Matsushita says in addition to the pipes being 15 feet beneath ground, the incident was complicated by concrete vaults that made access challenging. In addition to an array of fire engines spraying water, nearby heavy equipment was used to smother the fire. Engines and first responders came from Santee Fire Department, Barona Casino, and Heartland Fire. The blaze that began around 3 p.m. was fully extinguished 2.5 hours later, says Melissa McChesney, spokeswoman for Padre Dam Municipal Water District, the lead agency for the $1 billion Advanced Water Purification, or AWP, a system that converts sewage to drinkable water and has been under construction for 2 years. McChesney says this is not ideal, of course, but we're lucky no one was injured and the fire damage was localized to a segment of pipe. She adds, I don't believe this will create a serious delay in construction. Started in June 2022, the AWP is a multi-agency project that will take around 15 million gallons of sewage, now sent to Point Loma's sewage treatment plant, putting it through multiple stages of purification before it's delivered to East County. In addition to Padre Dam, other partners in the AWP are Helix Water District, the City of El Cajon, and San Diego County. Construction of the AWP is estimated to be completed by late 2025 or early 2026. And then there will be several months of testing before the purified water is expected to be delivered at the end of 2026, McChesney says. There is no estimate yet on the damages as of May 23rd, but some of the pipeline will need to be replaced. Officially, the estimated cost of the AWP is $950 million, but that doesn't include future elements, including an energy recovery stage that is yet to be approved by the Joint Powers Agency. McChesney assures that the project does have a AAA credit rating and has the capacity to meet its financial commitments despite setbacks caused by the fire. Reporting for East County Magazine in Santee, this is Miriam Raftery.
The Institute for Public Strategies, or IPS, recently held a listening session to hear from Lemon Grove residents on revitalizing Lemon Grove. Residents who attended voiced concern about Lemon Grove's main business corridor along Broadway, where broken windows, vacant shops, unkempt storefronts, have created a less than welcoming environment for residents and visitors alike. The corridor has some of the highest over-concentration rates of alcohol retailers in East County. Business directs at 800% over state guidelines. The presence of smoke shops and, until recent action by the city council, massage parlors has caused further concern for the residents. Broadway's neighborhood residents, business owners, and visitors say they have also witnessed an increasing number of unsheltered people who have settled in the area. Broadway holds immense potential for transformation and growth. At the IPS listening sessions, about 65 people provided insight on their hopes for improving the Broadway corridor. Those visions included dynamic mixes of establishments reflecting the heart of Lemon Grove, including a blend of art shops, bakeries, bookstores, and family-friendly eateries, theaters, and music venues. A desire for locally owned businesses, affordable boutiques, and unique experiences was promptly voiced. Lemon Grovers also envisioned a Broadway that caters to all demographics, embracing diverse and fostering a strong sense of community. Beyond commerce, residents want a vibrant array of activities and events on Broadway, from parades and craft fairs to outdoor dining experiences and cultural celebrations. Engaging with business and property owners is essential. They are encouraged to take pride in their storefronts, actively participate in community events, and collaborate in revitalizing endeavors. Collaboration among stakeholders, including local government, business and property owners, community members, nonprofits, and neighboring communities, is vital to the success of Broadway's revitalization. IPS concludes, by fostering partnerships and embracing inclusivity, they believe the city can assure that Broadway becomes a source of pride and economic viability in Lemon Grove. Input gathered from the listening sessions will be compiled into a report on the communities, which will be released by mid-May. It will also help guide a steering community of residents, business owners, property owners, in their work by revitalizing Broadway. Of the 65 who signed up for the listening sessions, almost 50 people indicated they wanted to be actively involved. In the months ahead, there will be more opportunities for engagement and action. Whether attending meetings, volunteering, or supporting local businesses, every individual can contribute to the revitalization of Broadway. IPS concludes, the community has an opportunity to seize the moment and shape the future of Broadway. Create a space that embodies Lemon Grove's values and aspirations, while making Lemon Grove's Broadway the best place it can be, a source for pride and unity, one step at a time. You can learn more at ipseast.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Zaravan Ali.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
After hearing from consumers across the state and reviewing evidence in the record, the California Public Utilities Commission, or CPUC, has issued a proposal rejecting AT&T's request to withdraw as a carrier of last resort, which would have ended landline service across San Diego County and other areas. The CPUC also indicated that it intends to initiate a new rulemaking process to address carrier of last resort telecommunications service obligations. The proposal will be on the CPUC's June 20th voting meeting agenda for those who may wish to participate. AT&T's plan to pull the plug on landline phone service has drawn strong opposition from rural residents in East County and elsewhere in California, as well as from consumer advocates who warn that ending landlines would leave many in rural or remote locations with no reliable phone service at all, since Internet VoIP phone service is not widely available in many places, and some areas also lack cell phone connectivity. Even for those with cell service, landlines have proven life-saving options when cell towers have burned down during wildfires in places such as rural Potrero, or if someone simply forgot to charge their phone. A carrier of last resort is a telecommunications service provider that stands ready to provide basic telephone service, commonly via landline, to any customer requesting it within a specified area to assure that everyone has access to safe, reliable, and affordable telephone service. AT&T's proposal was to withdraw without a new carrier of last resort being designated. Over 5,000 public comments were received. Nearly all opposed to AT&T's plan, needless to say. 8 public forums held by the CPUC statewide drew more than 5,800 attendees. Despite AT&T's contention that providers of voice alternatives to landline service such as VoIP or mobile wireless services can fill the gap, the CPUC found AT&T failed to demonstrate the availability of replacement providers willing, able, and capable of serving as carriers of last resort. Public commenters highlighted the unreliability of voice alternatives such as mobile wireless or VoIP. By signaling its intent to initiate a new rulemaking process, the CPUC says it seeks to adapt its regulations to evolving market conditions and technological advancements while continuing to meet the needs of all Californians. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
East County has some joyful June events coming up, including A Taste of Julian, Descanso Day Parade and Fair, Bathhouse Bazaar concerts in Hucumba Hot Springs, live music at the Magnolia in El Cajon, a twilight walk at Mission Trails, a comedy night in La Mesa, Santee Summer Concerts, Sequan's River Concerts, La Mesa's Classic Car Show, Lemon Grove's Concert Series Opener, and El Cajon's Outdoor Concerts in Classic Car Shows, and more.
A Taste of Julian will be held on June 1st from 12:30 to 5 p.m., showing there's a lot more to Julian cuisine than just the town's famous apples. Savor the culinary delights Julian has to offer on a self-guided tour of participating restaurants, as well as wine, beer, cider, tasting rooms in the Julian area. This event sells out quickly each year. You can get your tickets at visitjulian.com.
The Descanso Day Parade and Fair will be held on June 1st. Roads close at 8 a.m. and the parade rolls out at 9 a.m., followed by the fair at Descanso's historic town hall from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Descanso's first community fair was held in 1899 under a tent across the street near the creek. You're invited to come join the fun of this rural small town and learn more about Descanso's history while shopping at vendor booths, enjoying local food and beverages, and fun for the whole family. Learn more at descansotownhall.org.
The Magnolia Performing Arts Center in El Cajon has some hot entertainers coming up in June, including singer-songwriters Todd Rundgren, Iron and White, and rock opera, a gospel party, and several tributes to artists, and more. For tickets and details, visit magnoliasandiego.org.
A highlight of those hot summer nights in Hucumba Hot Springs is a concert series at the Bathhouse Bazaar. June's lineup includes swing music with Petunia and the Vipers on June 1st, the Clinton Davis String Band on June 8th with Folk Hillbilly Jug Band and Ballad, this Lonesome Paradise performing cowboy noir music on June 21st, and Nick Pagan's New Wop on June 22nd. All concerts are from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. and there is no admission charge, though RSVPs are requested. You can read more about these entertainers and reserve space at hucumba.com.
Mission Trails Regional Park Guides will lead a summer twilight walk on Saturday, June 15th, from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Enjoy an evening walk in the park, learn about the changes that occur at dusk as the sun goes down. Walks meet at the parking lot across the Kumeyaay Lake Campground. Don't forget to bring along your flashlight and extra layers of clothing. It often cools down after the sun sets. For more information, visit mtrp.org/events.
Sequan Casino and Resort offers a unique way to view concert this summer, including the multi-platinum selling band Platinum on June 20th at 8 p.m. The band will perform at the Faux River flowing through the resort, where VIP package options include reserved seats on the retreat viewing deck, exclusive server, and two pool floaties. This concert is limited to age 21 and up. Lanco hits include Greatest Love Story, Born to Love You, Honky Tonk Hippies, What I See, and Leaving Looks Good on You. Sequan also has a variety of indoor concerts at its Heritage Events Center and its live and up-close theater. For a full lineup and tickets, visit sequan.com.
Comedians Gene Levin and Carl Johnson, the dynamic duo behind the Fourth Friday Comedy Show, held every month at Space Bar Cafe and Wine Bistro in La Mesa. This delightful event has become one of the longest-running free comedy shows in our region, drawing laughter-loving audiences from near and far. The next comedy night will be held Friday, June 26th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Spacebar's website is atspacebar.com.
Santee's summer concert series will be held Thursday starting June 13th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at 550 Park Center Drive in Santee. June's performers include Cassie B, Upstream, and Journeyman. Learn more at City of Santee's website.
The 30th annual La Mesa Classic Car Show and live music event rolls into downtown La Mesa beginning June 6th through August 29th. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., except there are no car shows June 13th or July 4th. Visitors can stroll down La Mesa Boulevard between 4th and Spring Street to view classic cars and other vintage vehicles, as well as enjoy live music by local bands plus DJs. For the 30th anniversary year, there will also be theme nights once a month, with attendees encouraged to dress up in the style the band is performing. June's entertainment lineup includes The Farmers on June 6th, Blame Betty on June 20th, and Zealand on June 27th. Theme night for June is the 20th, with a rockabilly theme.
Amid renovations of Ramona's historic town hall, the venue will host its first live music concert in 40 years on June 8th and 9th. Ashley E. Norton will perform songs from her newest album, Call of the Void, along with a song called Whiskey in the Walls, written specifically about Ramona's town hall. The singer-songwriter will also debut a music video at the event, with a portion of proceeds benefiting the town hall renovations. Whiskey in the Walls was inspired by a legend which claims that because the building was donated to the town under condition that it be a dry hall, the Masons rebelled and hid a jug of whiskey in the walls to assure that alcohol would always be present. But so far, no whiskey jug has been found as the renovations continue on this historic town hall, which was built in 1894. A reception will be held at 6 p.m. on June 8th, following the concert at 7 p.m., featuring food trucks, local beers, and wines. A second concert has been added as a Sunday matinee on June 9th at 2 p.m. The reception will include performances by local Ramona musicians Chloe Liu and Tyler Stamets. The main feature with Norton will include Johnny Garcia, lead guitar player for Garth Brooks, and Trisha Yearwood. Tickets can be purchased at ashleyenorton.com/townhall.
El Cajon Concerts in the Park series continues each Friday night, all summer long, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Prescott Promenade. There is also a Cajon Classic Cruise Car Show every Wednesday night from 5 to 7:30 p.m. in the same location. You can find the full schedule for each week themes and entertainers at downtownelcajon.com.
The City of La Mesa's Concerts in the Park will be held in the amphitheater at Harry Griffin Park on Sundays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. starting June 23rd and running through July 28th. The lineup includes the San Diego Concert Band, That Beatles Over Band, Drive in the Bus, Zealand, 8-Track Highway, and Sonic Epidemic. For details, visit lamesaparks.org.
Lemon Grove will host three concerts in the park this summer at Berry Street Park from 6:30 to 8 p.m. The June 27th seasonal opener will feature Bayou Brothers and Cajun and Zydeco music. Other concerts are on July 11th featuring Mandy Cepeda, Orchestra Quintet, and July 18th with Platinum Beat. Full details at lemongrove.ca.gov/parks-events.
You can find details on all of these events on our calendar at eastcountymagazine.org.
That's all for this week.
We'll be back next week with more festivals,
events,
and attractions
in San Diego's East County.
The County of San Diego's 2024 Summer Movies in the Park season started on May 24th with a sunset showing of the Oscar-winning blockbuster Barbie at the Waterfront Park downtown. The full season includes more than 100 movies at dozens of parks countywide, including lots of them here in East County. Be sure to bring a chair and blankets to cozy up for a night under the stars. The first East County showing will be on June 8th with The Little Mermaid at Sweetwater Place Park in Spring Valley and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem at Dos Picos County Park in Ramona. East County and Inland San Diego locations for future movies now through August include Campo, El Cajon, Escondido, Flint Springs, Julian, La Mesa, Lakeside, Lemon Grove, Pine Valley, Potrero, Poway, Ramona, Rancho Bernardo, Rolando, San Carlos, Skyline, and Spring Valley. The lineup has something for everyone to enjoy. You can view the full list of movies and plan to attend movies near you as the Department of Parks and Recreation celebrates 17 years of taking back parks after dark through safe and fun nighttime activities. Movies, dates, and locations are subject to change, so be sure to check the summer movies in the park schedule. All movies begin 15 minutes after sunset. For more information about all County of San Diego Parks and Recs events, including the movies in the park, you can go to sdparks.org. This has been Miriam Raftery for East County Magazine on KNSJ.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Visionary artist and internationally acclaimed architect James Hubble passed away on May 17th in Chula Vista at age 92, surrounded by family members including his wife, Anne. A statement issued by the Ilan Leal Foundation, founded by Hubble to inspire future generations of artists, architects, and builders, says, "We've lost a great friend, a generous creative talent, and an extraordinary man, artist James T. Hubble." Hubble designed hundreds of public and private artworks. Locally, his creations include the Pacific Portal Gazebo and Pacific Rim Park's Pearl of the Pacific on Shelter Island, a mosaic fountain at Coronado Ferry Landing, and public artwork at Rancho La Puerta Fitness Resort and Spa in Tecate, Mexico. Internationally, he headed up efforts to create a series of international peace parks at locations rimming the Pacific Ocean. He also began a 30-year volunteer project to build Colegio La Esperanza, an elementary school embedded with mosaics to bring hope, education, and beauty to students east of Tijuana, Mexico. In a 2019 interview with me for East County Magazine at his famed Hubble home and studio in Santa Isabel, Hubble said his greatest inspiration was nature, adding, "I've always understood nature." That love is evident at his Santa Isabel compound just outside of Julian, a magical world where buildings appear to have sprouted from the landscape, complementing curves and forms found in nature, built of stone, wood, and other natural materials. Hubble's works are punctuated by free-form mosaics that seem to flow across floors and up walls, illuminated by stained glass that sends colorful prisms of light dancing across his creations. Thousands of visitors have flocked to Hubble Home, which is open to visitors for tours each spring. Born in New York in 1931, young Hubble struggled in school, turning to art and nature as his artistic talent gained attention, according to a biography on the Ilan Leal Foundation website. He attended numerous schools, including a military academy. After graduating high school, he met Charles Darwin's grandson and joined the young explorer on a trip to Africa and Europe, discovering great works of art and tribal cultural expressions. He later studied at Whitney Art School in New York and Cranbrook Academy of Art in Michigan, majoring in sculpture. He moved with his family to Rancho Santa Fe, then served in the Korean War as a base mural artist after telling his commanding officer that he couldn't shoot anymore, and he became a lifelong pacifist. But it was in San Diego after the war that his architectural career was launched. A former student of Frank Lloyd Wright teamed up with Hubble to redesign the Wishing Well Hotel that Hubble's mother owned. Charmed by Hubble's designs, he began including them in many of the homes that he designed. Hubble joined art groups, gaining introduction to other prominent architects. In 1955, his first one-man exhibit was featured in San Diego Magazine, which led to international shows. In 1958, he married Anne Stewart. The couple built a stone cabin with their own hands on land that later became a 14-building compound in Santa Isabel. Hubble's works were soon featured in a book, a documentary by KPBS-TV, and in newspaper and magazine articles. His fame grew, vaulting him to international prominence with speaking engagements around the world. He won many awards, honors, and lifetime achievement recognitions, including from the National Endowment for the Arts, the American Institute of Architects, the United Nations Eleanor Roosevelt Human Rights Award, and his works have been featured on the Travel Channel and Home Garden TV. He and Ann launched their Elon Lael Foundation in 1983. Over a decade later, in 1994, he began his Pacific Rim Park project, which has built 8 peace parks to date in 7 cities along the Pacific Ocean. Hubble later branched into filmmaking and writing children's books through his Tortoise Film and Publishing Company. In A Tale of a Tortoise and a Butterfly, he observed that a tiny butterfly who thought she was insignificant could travel the world and imagine things that others could not. After all, he wrote, imagination is like a tiny seed that we can nurture and grow and may one day change the world. James Hubble is survived by his wife, Anne, 4 children, 6 grandchildren, and a great-grandchild. His creativity will continue through the Elon Lael Foundation and through his son, Drew, partner in the Hubble & Hubble Architects firm. An epilogue on the Elon Lael website notes, we will join hands in memory and in sorrow, but in confidence that the work James started, we will carry forward, as he would have wanted. The family suggests donations in his memory may be made to the Parkinson's Foundation or to the Elon Lael Foundation. On his foundation's website, Hubble reflected on the interconnection of life and of continuity after death. He wrote, to say that we are more alike than different is true, as human life was formed from stardust, the explosion of stars to form supernovas that create and cast all of the elements of the planets and all life in the universe. It gives me comfort to know that life has this continuity. We are born containing these starburst elements, and these particles and energy remain even after death. He expressed his wishes for his ashes to be scattered from the hillside chapel on his Santa Isabel property facing the San Diego River, and shared his fantasy that his ashes will be carried to the sea, then across the Pacific, where someday a pearl diver would make a remarkable discovery after prying open an oyster. Hubble reflected in writing his own epilogue, there is still life within the crusty exterior. Deep inside the oyster, her knife tip releases a luminous round pearl that, unknown to her, contains the elements of my ashes. There, the circle of one life is complete. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Over 2,100 students are set to receive over 5,300 degrees from Grossmont and Cuyamaca Colleges. Cuyamaca College will hold its graduation on May 29th, with Grossmont College's commencement ceremony on May 30th. Both will also be live streamed so family members everywhere can watch the celebration of students' academic success. Lynn Nealt, Chancellor of the Grossmont Cuyamaca Community College District, says, I'm proud of all of our graduates for putting in the hard work to reach this milestone. She adds, they received an excellent education at Grossmont and Cuyamaca Colleges, and their lives will be forever transformed by their experiences. Cuyamaca College's student speaker will be 32-year-old Jessica Lourdes Bahena, a Rancho San Diego resident who is earning associate degrees in ethnic studies, history, humanities, fine art, and social and behavioral sciences. The road has been challenging for the single mother of 2, but she credits the professionals on campus for lifting her up when she was down and propelling her toward her degrees. She says, it's been a huge help to receive grants, school supplies, diapers, gas cards, and other aid. She worked part-time at the Cuyamaca Student Affairs Center and recently launched a student group called Brown Students United, bringing students of color together to support common challenges. I have so much gratitude, Bahena says, and I want to give back to the school and its students the way I was helped when I was here. She will transfer to San Diego State University to major in history and Chicano studies. She hopes to earn a master's degree and one day return to Cuyamaca College to teach history. Grossmont College will hold its graduation at Viejas Arena for the second year in a row to accommodate the larger number of graduates and family members. The student speaker will be Zachary Mass, who will be earning an associate degree in communication. Mass said he's enjoyed attending Grossmont College with supportive professors and counselors, earning a 3.5 grade point average. Mass says, all the professors have been really supportive. I email them and they get back to me soon. His academic challenges started in third grade and reached a boiling point when he was in eighth grade and was expelled from middle school. He spent 2 years in a special education school before he was able to return to a mainstream high school, but he's learned to persevere despite adversity. Mass has been active in the radio class and has been an announcer at Grossmont College sports events. He will be transferring to San Diego State University to earn a bachelor's degree in communication and hopes to have a career in sports broadcasting. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Denader Ramirez.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
If the Democrats win, I will accept the result, but I'm not going to ignore fraud. I wrestled with what to do in that circumstance. The reason I wrestled with it is because I think there was significant voter fraud in 2020.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz is joining a cadre of Republicans hedging on whether they'll accept losing the next election. Cruz tells CNN it's a ridiculous question, but like others, he questions Biden's victory and reserves the right to challenge results he doesn't like. The Supreme Court is reinstating South Carolina's redrawn congressional map, saying it was driven by extreme partisanship, not race. The 6-3 opinion by Samuel Alito reverses the lower court finding that thousands of black voters were illegally moved to make the first congressional district safer for a white Republican candidate. Plaintiff Tywan Scott told ABC last year that in his state, it's impossible to separate race from party.
It's taking our opportunity to elect a representative away from us. Someone who can speak up on behalf of the outstanding historical concerns that we're still faced with. And I think it's deliberate.
Attorney General Merrick Garland is slamming former President Donald Trump for saying President Joe Biden authorized his assassination during an FBI search of Mar-a-Lago. Garland called that false and extremely dangerous for police. Former FBI agent Richard Frankel says deadly force is always authorized. And in cases like this, the person being investigated could just turn over the materials.
A search warrant many times is the last step. Affidavits have to be handed over at one point. They get to see the search warrant, and the defendant really knows that he is the target at this point.
Senate Democrats failed to advance a bipartisan border security bill Thursday, with nearly every Republican filibustering a measure Trump opposed as a problem for his campaign. GOP Texas Congressman Keith Self says he's frustrated with his party for turning away border legislation tough enough to alienate progressives.
The problem is the Republicans, not the Democrats. We know how the Democrats are going to vote. It's too many of my Republican colleagues are unwilling to vote to secure the border.
Controversies lighting up Florida bridges. In the past, bands like the Sunshine Skyway and Ringling Causeway have been turned rainbow colors for LGBTQ pride or other hues for gun violence awareness or the African-American holiday Juneteenth. But Governor Ron DeSantis wants them lit red, white, and blue as part of what he's calling Florida Freedom Summer. President of the Sarasota branch of the Brady Gun Control Group, Carol Rossigno, says DeSantis is whitewashing diverse public opinion.
80% of American people believe there should be stronger gun laws. In the meantime, a lot of other organizations also have the bridge lit up for different days and events.
I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, AK Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.